everybody. It's 4 o'clock, so welcome to By the Lyric. This is actually our last show of the year. So for those of you that have been following along since the beginning of the year, we started off looking at Alt-J's Tarot. We started off by looking at Alt-J's... oh my gosh, what was the song? We started looking at an Alt-J song, so I thought it would be interesting to finish with an Alt-J song. So today's song is Alt-J's Tarot. Again, for those of you that are new listeners, my name is Lisa, and By the Lyric is the show where I take a deep dive into the lyrics of songs to try and really look at what the artist was trying to convey. So let's start with the background. There are so many things rolled into Tarot. Mournful, dispensary, girl-esque, post-rock strings and bells, plus vocal tone, Indian pop straddling the bridge, and a history lesson above all. So let's start by figuring out exactly the meaning of the word Tarot. So Tarot is actually referring to Gerda Tarot. Gerda Pohorilli, who was born on the 1st of August 1910 and passed away on the 26th of July 1937, was known professionally as Gerda Tarot. She was a German-Jewish war photographer who was active during the Spanish Civil War. Born in Stuttgart, Germany in 1910, in 1929 her family moved to Leipzig just prior to the rise of Nazi Germany. Tarot opposed the National Socialist German Workers' Party, the name of the Nazi Party in Germany, and became interested in leftist politics. In 1933, following the Nazi Party's coming to power, she was arrested and detained for distributing propaganda against the National Socialists. Eventually, the entire Pohorilli household was forced to leave Germany toward different destinations. Tarot, aged 23, headed for Paris, while her parents attempted to reach Mandatory Palestine, also known as Eretz Israel, at that time by Jews seeking to reestablish a safe homeland. Her brothers went to England. She would not see her family again. In France, she met and became companion and professional partner of photographer Robert Capa. The name Robert Capa was originally an alias that Tarot and Capa, who was born Andre Friedman, shared, an invention meant to mitigate the increasing political intolerance in Europe and to attract the lucrative American market. A significant amount of what is credited as Robert Capa's early work was actually made by Tarot. When the Spanish Civil War broke out in 1936, Tarot traveled to Barcelona, Spain to cover the events with Capa and David Chim Seymour. Tarot acquired the nickname La Pequeña Rubia, the Little Blonde. They covered the war together in northeastern Aragon and in the southern Cordoba province. Always together under the common and using the bogus signature of Robert Capa, they succeeded in publishing through important publications such as the Swiss Zürcher, illustrated in the French Vue. Their early war photographs are distinguishable since Tarot used a Rolleiflex camera which rendered squared photographs, while Capa produced rectangular pictures using a Leica camera. Subsequently, Tarot attained some independence. She refused Capa's marriage proposal, and she became publicly related to the circle of anti-fascist European intellectuals such as Ernest Hemingway and George Orwell, who crusaded particularly for the Spanish Republic. Ce Soir was a communist newspaper of France, signed her for publishing Tarot's works only. Then she began to commercialize her production under the Photo Tarot label. Regards Life Illustrated, London News, and Volks Illustriert were amongst publications that also used her work. Reporting the Valencia bombing alone, Tarot obtained the photographs which are her most celebrated. Also in July of 1937, her photographs were in demand by an international press when alone she was covering the Brunet region near Madrid for Ce Soir. Although the Nationalist propaganda claimed that the region was under its control, the Republican forces had in fact forced that faction out. Tarot's photographs were the only testimony of the actual situation. During her coverage of the Republican army retreat at the Battle of Brunet, Tarot hopped onto the footboard of a car that was carrying wounded soldiers. a Republican tank crashed into its side, and Taro suffered critical wounds, dying the following day on the 26th of July in 1937. In an interview with the Spanish daily El País, a nephew of a Republican soldier at the Battle of Brunete explained that she had died in an accident. According to the eyewitness account, she had been run over by a reversing tank and she died from her wounds in El Goloso English Hospital a few hours later. The tank driver did not realize what he had done. Due to her political commitment, Taro had become a respected anti-fascist figure. On the 1st of August 1937, on what would have been her 27th birthday, the French Communist Party gave her a grand funeral in Paris, drawing tens of thousands of people onto the streets, and they buried her at Père Lachaise Cemetery and commissioned Alberto Giacometti to create a monument for her grave. She is regarded as the first woman photojournalist to have died while covering the front line in a war. So that's just a little bit of background as to who Taro was. But it's interesting, the song is titled Taro. It's not actually about Gerda Taro and her life, but it's about the death of her lover, Robert Capa, who we mentioned earlier. So let's learn a little bit about Robert Capa. Robert Capa, who was born Andre Friedman on October 22nd, 1913, was born into a Jewish family in Budapest where his parents were tailors. At the age of 18, in an attempt to flee political repression in Hungary, Capa moved to Vienna, later relocated to Prague, and finally settled in Berlin, all cities that were centers of artistic and cultural ferment in this period. He started studies in journalism at the German Political College, but the Nazi Party instituted restrictions on Jews and banned them from colleges, leading him to move to Paris. In 1934, Andre Friedman, as he still called himself then, met Gerda Pohorilli, a German-Jewish refugee. The couple lived in Paris where Andre taught Gerda photography. Together they created the name and image of Robert Capa. As a famous American photographer, and at the beginning of the war, both photographers published their work under the pseudonym of Robert Capa. Though she contributed to much of the early work, Pohorilli quickly created her own alias, Gerda Taro, and they began to publish their work separately. Robert Capa subsequently covered five wars: the Spanish Civil War, the Second Sino-Japanese War, World War II across Europe, 1948 Arab-Israeli War, and the First Indochina War, with his photos published in major magazines and newspapers. During his career, he risked his life numerous times, most dramatically as the only civilian photographer landing on Omaha Beach on D-Day. Taro traveled with Capa to Spain in 1936, intending to document the Spanish Civil War. In July 1937, Capa traveled briefly to Paris while Gerda remained in Madrid. She was killed near Brunete during a battle. Capa, who was reportedly engaged to her, was deeply shocked and never married. Capa's friends and colleagues also included Ernest Hemingway, Irwin Shaw, John Steinbeck, and director John Huston. In 1947, for his work recording World War II in pictures, U.S. General Dwight D. Eisenhower awarded Capa the Medal of Freedom. That same year, Capa co-founded Magnum Photos in Paris. The organization was the first cooperative agency for worldwide freelance photographers. Hungary has also issued a stamp and a gold coin in Capa's honor. So, the subject of this song isn't Taro's life, and it's not Capa's life, but what it really focuses in on is his death during the First Indochina War. So what happened is, during the war, he left the relative safety of his jeep and advanced on foot in a hostile war zone to take pictures. Minutes later, he stepped on a landmine which blew apart his left leg. He died minutes later with his camera in his hand. So let's have our first listen of Taro by LJ. All right, welcome back. So that was our first listen of today's song, Taro by LJ, for those of you that are just joining us. So again, let's jump right into the first lyrics. So the first lines go, Indochina, Capa jumps jeep, 2 feet creep up the road. Indochina is the former name of a region of Southeast Asia, which dates from the period when it was a colony of France under the full name of French Indochina. This is a reference to the First Indochina War and Robert Capa, a wartime combat photographer and photojournalist. In the early 1950s, Capa traveled to Japan for an exhibition associated with Magnum Photos, which was a company he recently started in France. And while there, Life magazine asked him to go on an assignment to Southeast Asia, where the French had been fighting for 8 years in the First Indochina War. Despite the fact that he had sworn not to photograph another war following the death of his lover, Gerda Taro, Capa accepted and accompanied a French regiment to war. The French regiment was passing through a dangerous area under fire, and the column had halted due to a Viet Minh ambush when Capa decided to leave his jeep and go up the road to photograph the advance of the regiment. The mention of the 2 feet creeping up the road foreshadows the events to come. Later on, there will be just 1 foot left. Also, the use of creep refers to the dangers Capa is in and to the fact that he's well aware of them, and maybe also to the fact that his work as a war photographer might be seen as voyeuristic or creepy. The next line is, to photo, to record, meat lumps at war. This line relates to the last one, as it was in both Capa's and his companion's job description, to photograph and thereby record death and war during their careers as combat photographers. Furthermore, violence is said to desensitize and dehumanize people, thus meat lumps is used to refer to the men and women at war because Capa and Taro's time as combat photographers would have strained their connection with the subjects of their pictures. It is also common practice among journalists and photographers to remain impartial and record rather than react. The next line is, they advance as does his chance. The soldiers who Robert Capa had been placed with to photograph were advancing on the enemy troops, which he saw as his chance to photograph them. One genius user writes, I think in this context, chance doesn't mean so much opportunity, but odds. Capa took pictures during the Spanish Civil War and World War II, always as close to the actual fighting as possible. He took great risks for his work, and during D-Day alone, he might have died several times, but survived by sheer chance. So many around him had died, Gerda Taro almost 17 years earlier, and with every person he survived, the odds rose higher that one day his chance would arrive to him. Capa knew that and hence refused to do war photography after World War II, until 1954 when he accepted his mission to Indochina. While at this point of the lyrics, his chance hasn't arrived yet, but it advances, and arrives directly in the next line, with a flash. What a dramatic effect, almost cineastic, but why chance and not fate? Well, one, Capa was a gambler, and gamblers believe in chance, not fate, and two, it might have been his fate to die in war, but that he died in the Thai Bin, Indochina, was just by chance. So again, the user is referencing the next line, which goes, very yellow-white flash. Again, this very yellow-white flash could be referring to the yellow flash of the landmine and comparing it to the white flash of a camera. Very yellow-white flash, a violent wrench grips mass, rips light, tears limbs like rags. About 5 minutes after Capa left the jeep to take a photo, his co-photographers heard an explosion. Capa had stepped on a landmine, and the resulting explosion severed Capa's leg from his body. A very probable double entendre is the type of camera used by photographers at the time, where the flash was a sudden burst of sulfur. A very white-yellow flash indeed, the source of Capa and Taro's livelihood, and the end of it too. All right, welcome back, everybody. So for those of you that are just joining us, today we are looking at Taro by Alt-J, which is about the death of Taro's lover, Robert Capa. So we've gotten through most of the, this song doesn't really have any verses. It's kind of like sectioned into two halves. We've gotten through most of the first half. But the following line is, "Burst so high, finally cap a lance." So before we were talking about a very yellow-white flash, a violent wrench grips mass, rips light, tears limbs like rags. So that was about 5 minutes after Kappa left the Jeep to take a photo. His co-photographers heard an explosion. He had stepped on a landmine, and the resulting explosion severed his leg from his body. A very probable double entendre is the type of camera used by photographers at the time, where the flash was a sudden burst of sulfur, a very white-yellow flash indeed, the source of Kappa and Taro's livelihood, and the end of it too. So the next line goes, "Burst so high, finally Kappa lands." The force from the landmine is so powerful that it has thrown him into the air for a relatively long time, finally landing back on the ground. This line might also be seen as a metaphor for his explosive social rise from the son of Austro-Hungarian Jewish tailor to an American VIP who was the once lover of Hollywood star Ingrid Bergman, friend of Nobel Prize-winning author John Steinbeck, and who traveled the world in the sudden but not unexpected stop of the rise by his brutal and ugly death. He rose farther than anybody could have expected. It was much against the odds as his survival for so much time at the front line, and now this rise is done. The next line is, "Mine is a watery pit." Vietnam was inundated with torrential rain during the conflict of 1954, and the crater where the landmine had been was now most likely filled with water. As well as the actual mine, there may be some wordplay here. We could read the sentence as, "My only property is a watery pit," since it is the only thing Kappa can cling to at this moment, and maybe even for the short rest of his life. Maybe it refers to his lungs, which must have filled with blood since he had a severe chest wound. Or perhaps the mine means the source of the riches, his powerful photography he has given to the world, and this mine is carried to end. A technical synonym is dead and now running full of water, eventually becoming valueless. And maybe, since Alt J seems to love playing with words and meanings, it means all of the above at once. The next line is, "Painless with immense distance." The resulting explosion and shrapnel from the landmine explosion severed Kappa's leg from his body, and he suffered other severe lacerations and wounds to the chest. This left him stranded and fatally wounded, too far from anyone else. This line is sometimes sung, "painless with great distance." Now we move on to what I would say, I guess, is the pre-chorus or the bridge. And the bridge goes, "From medic, from colleague, friend, enemy, foe, him 5 yards from his leg." Another Genius Junior suggests, "Because of the traumatic event Kappa suffers from an acute stress reaction, his experience is numbing, emotional detachment, muteness, and derealization, and is unable to feel anything, even pain. This leads over to hypoxia of his brain due to heavy blood loss. So he is in a state of immense distance, perceives himself as being far away from the medic who arrived while Kappa was still alive, far away from his two colleagues from the Time Life magazine who found him after the explosion, far away from the French and the Vietnamese troops who had been in the center of his attention just 1 minute ago, and far away from even himself, who was far away from his leg as well. The way the scene is described, Kappa might have an out-of-body experience, watching the scenery from above, noticing everything that's going on around him, but without any inner connection to himself, not even with his own body. And the line after goes, "From you, Taro." So letting the former line aside, the whole sentence reads, "Painless with immense distance from you, Taro." So while he watches all the things around him with emotional disconnect, alone and numbed by the shock, his thoughts wander off to his love, Gerda Taro, who once had been lying in the mud too, just like he does now. Taro was also a war photographer and had died 17 years prior to Kappa in 1937 while photographing the Spanish Civil War. Taro is obviously very distant from him, not only because she is dead while he is still alive, which makes for a great distance, but also because she died on the other side of the world, a completely different world too, since World War II really changed the world in a lot of aspects. Welcome back. So for those of you that are just joining us, we are looking today at Altjay's Tarot, which is not really about Gerda Taro, who was a wartime photojournalist, but more so about the death of her lover, Robert Capa. So we've gotten into the chorus now, which is a simple two lines. And those two lines are, "Do not spray into eyes. I have sprayed you into my eyes." So, "do not spray into eyes" is a warning commonly included on aerosol sprays, including medicines and chemicals. This frames the second line, a beautifully metaphoric confession, "Well, I have sprayed you into my eyes." Capa declares his love to Taro while accepting the cost given their shared and dangerous work. "I'm yours, no matter the cost." Alternately, after the explosion, Capa knows he's dying. He's dizzy, seeing all blurry. You would expect from a person that made a living from taking images from the world, he would have wanted to see the picture of his death, but he's able to hold the image of Taro in his mind so he can go in peace. It's also important to note that Breeze Blocks, which is probably the most famous Alt-J song, also uses a phrase commonly found on aerosols, "may contain," as Newman was reading off of "One at the Time." Now, the second half of the song starts now. It goes, 3:10 p.m., Capa pens death. Several accounts of Capa's death have him leaving the regiment at 14:50, which is 2:50 p.m., to photograph them, and the landmine blast happening around 5 minutes later, allowing for the fact that some sources have Capa still breathing when the fellow Lifetime journalists John Mecklen and Tim Lucas reach him. This is probably accurate. Mecklen himself reported, "I began calling his name. The second or third time his lips moved slightly, like those of a man disturbed in sleep. That was his last movement. It was 3:10 p.m. The next line is, "Quivers, last rattles, last chokes." A description of Capa's final moments on the brink of death. It's common for people in their death throes to be unable to swallow, causing a death rattle as they breathe through the fluids accumulating in their throat. Next line is, "All colors and cares glaze to gray." He's losing his sight. This also mirrors his photography. While he sees the colors and is able to witness colorful reactions of his photograph subjects, such as death, grief, etc., his photographs were developed in gray. Those viewing the photographs can never feel the true emotion at the moment it was captured. The next line is, "Shriveled and stricken to dots." One sees dots in their eyes, or phosphenes, after rubbing their eyes too hard. Life is a blur as it quickly slipping from his grasp. In the same way, as life fades before his eyes, his hand shrivels and is covered with age spots. Or, a genius user suggests that "shriveled and stricken to dots" could also be suggesting that all of Capa's cares and worries have been reduced to small, worthless dots compared to the bigger picture and the fear of the unknown or afterlife. If you take the previous "all colors and cares glazed to gray" along with "shriveled and stricken to dots," they could be comparing his death to the function of the camera in black and white photography. The bright colors of life fade to gray as Capa fades, just as living color fades when a black and white photo is taken. Black and white images are displayed on a spectrum of grayscale pixels, hence the next line, "shriveled and stricken to dots." Light is compressed to a pixelated dot which lacks the aura of the full living original. Capa's existence is diminished in the same way by the burst of the landmine, ironically similar to the burst of the camera's flashbulb.
Only know you've been high when you're feeling low.
All right, welcome back. So, Again, for those of you that are just joining us, we are looking at LJ's Tarot, which is about Tarot's lover, Robert Capa, and his death. So we've gotten through, I guess, the first half of the second half of the song. And the next line goes, "The left hand grasps what the body grasps not." The left hand refers to Capa's dying, grasping his camera in his left hand. So he's losing his sight as he dies, colors fade to gray, stricken to dots. His eyes and brain can no longer hold images, but the film in his camera holds the images that his body is no longer capable of because it is in his left hand, physically. Another genius user suggests, "I think that this section is alluding to his most famous photograph, Loyalist Militia Man at the Moment of Death." This is a photo of a soldier on a slope who seems to be falling backwards, slightly onto his left hand, and is holding a gun in his right hand. Both arms are wide, open wide, exposing his chest as if accepting death as his fate. There has been a long-standing debate as to whether or not the photograph was staged, and the most compelling argument for the image's authenticity is that as the soldier is falling, his left hand is clenched in death rather than preparing to protect the soldier from hitting the ground. The next line is, "Le photographe est mort," which means the photographer is dead, and that's French. An edition of Life magazine from the 7th of June 1954 ran co-reporter John Mecklen's report of Capa's death. He says, "I was making notes on this when a helmeted soldier arrived and spoke to the lieutenant in Vietnamese. Without a trace of emotion, the lieutenant said, 'Le photographe est mort.' I understood the words, but they didn't register, and I said, 'Pardon?' I was certain I had misunderstood and said to Lucas almost as a joke, 'This guy's trying to tell me Capa's dead.'" The next line is 3.1415, "Alive no longer, my amour." 3.1415 is the first few digits of pi, which is a number representing the number of times the diameter of a circle fits into the circumference. And this is also not the first time that Alt-J has used geometrical imagery. Pi has endless decimal places. As imagery, there are a number of possible interpretations. First is time slowing as Capa fades away. The digits of pi here may represent the way time stretches out for Capa as he approaches death. He is alive at 3.1 p.m. or 3:10 p.m., and time doesn't stop, yet he never reaches 3.15, just like how the sequence 3.1, 3.14, 3.141, 3.1415 is increasing without ever reaching an end. This is reinforced by "alive no longer, my amour," in reference to Taro. The French "mon amour" means "my love." The second way to interpret 3.1415 is an infinite legacy. As an infinite series, pi may allude to Capa's legacy and his war pictures from Vietnam and elsewhere lasting forever. Or it could be looked at as another life is beginning. The circular imagery may indicate a circle of life. The cycle starts again as he enters whatever afterlife he sees in the following lyrics and starts afresh with his lover, Taro. As they see each other again, they have come full circle, and so their cycles continue. The next line is, "Faded for home, May of 1954. Sorry, they don't say 1954. It's "Faded for home, May of 54. Robert Capa was pronounced dead on May 25th of 1954. He can finally go home. He was 40 at the time of his death, and he is buried in plot 189 at Amawalk Hill Cemetery, also called Friends Cemetery, in Amawalk, Westchester County, New York, alongside his mother Julia and his brother Cornell Capa. The next line is, "Doors open like arms, my love." Capa is soon to cross over, and he feels at ease because he is to join his love, Taro. He feels as if he's being embraced by death. The open arms alternately may be those of the dying Capa, just as on his most famous photo of the falling soldier. The opening doors are compared as to the gates of heaven, possibly, through that the lovers can see each other again. And the last line before we get into the bridge is painless with a great closeness. Kappa has died at this point, therefore all the pain has been left behind in the mortal realm. The great closeness refers to his reuniting with things lost, his leg, his love, and perhaps also to the feeling of relief that he experiences in death, the coming home feeling that is expressed in the previous two lines. Next, the song moves into the second bridge or pre-chorus, and it goes, to Kappa, Kappa, dark after nothing, reunited with his leg, and with you, Taro, Taro. Kappa passes away and goes on to the afterlife, where he has his leg back and meets back up with Taro. At this point, wherever he went after dying, got his leg back, reunited with his lover, who is curing him, and he doesn't need anything more, because seeing his lover was all that he needed. So after learning all of this fascinating information, historical story about Taro and Kappa, let's listen to Taro for the last time. That is everything for me today and for the rest of the year. This was my last show, everybody. For those of you that have been regular listeners, I thank you so much. This has been super duper fun for me. I learned a lot, and I hope that you did too. And I really hope that everyone has a great summer and that you continue to support listening to Radio Laurier. All right, my name is Lisa. This is By the Lyric, and you're listening to Radio Laurier.